Today we're going to look at this topic, facing adversity with joy. And our son, dealing with Syrian refugees and Jordanian refugees and Iraqi refugees, that's certainly part of the human dilemma, isn't it, in our world today? There are nearly 67 million people that are refugees. And at one time in Peter's life, he viewed himself as a refugee. Now, we don't quite understand James 1, where it says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various temptations or trials, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have its perfect work." Now, a lot of us don't think that trials and difficulties are character forming, but they are. You know, anybody that goes into the military finds out that trials and difficulties are character forming. And so James says that. I don't know if you knew this, but Peter's called the Apostle of Hope. John, of course, he's the Apostle of Love. And the Apostle Paul, of course, sets before us this faith that we should have in Christ. And in 1 Peter, we're going to look there, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see the word hope four times. When we think about hope, we think about our eternal future in his home. We think of something that's imperishable. We think of something that's our present blessing and our future blessing. And we also think that the written word of God gives us hope. How many of you read your Bible and you get up in the morning and you say, "Lord, you've encouraged me today. I have something from you that I can go face the world with." Now here, and when I think of hope, I also think of just divine certainty, don't you? These are not things that we just wish, but these are things, rock-bottom truths that we just rely on. So the first one is 1 Peter 1:3, and it reads this way: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So Christians have something that is alive, and our hope, of course, is in Christ, a living hope. And we'll explore that more. 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end, for the grace that's to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ." Something about the hope that we have in Christ, we persevere. We keep on a journey that's difficult. 1 Peter 1:21, "Who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." You know, we were driving with my son over in Israel, and we were tangling around from some roads, and actually we were in the Arab territory. And Mama Moore says, "I'm feeling uncomfortable, Brian, and I hope you know where you're going and how to get there." And Nathan said this. He was 11 or 12 years old at the time. He said, "Grandma, Dad makes good decisions. He'll get us there." I believe in Dad. Assuring her. That just quieted her hearts. So there you have it. "Who by him, believe in God, raised him from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." And often our hope is in a person. It's Christ and his word. First Peter 3:15, "Sanctify," or set the Lord God in your hearts, "and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." Now, here's a little storyline that often gets the conversation going for me. All I have to say is, "How's it going?" And if I know somebody and they say, "Well, you know, this is my problem here. I'm not getting along with my wife and my kids are misbehaving. And, my job is threatened and I've got this problem with my health and I've got to go see the doctor." I said, "You know, this whole world has got plenty of trouble, and I'm part of it. You are too. can we have hope beyond this scene? And can we have someone who can help us with our difficulties right now? Well, do you know him? And so we just go from there. Set the Lord God apart. You know, it's good to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't know who you're going to bring in my life today, but give me a word from yourself and enable me to speak for you today. Speak up, represent the Lord wherever you're at. People need you, and you can do it. Psalms 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? That really captures, in another way, the hope that we have. We're not disabled. We're not unable. We're capable. Isaiah 12, 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. There's something solidness about the Lord and solidness about faith. It's one that will not let us down. And so with confidence, we can say, I believe in the Lord. He's my Lord. And I'm representing him today. In Ephesians 2, it talks about the great without. There are people today without God, without hope, and without a covenant. And it's sad if you're part of the great without. You can be part of the great within and know the Lord and be part of his family. Well, that's a little background. I want to give you a little message about Peter. And just a little background on that. Peter didn't always get things right. And so I put four things down that he didn't get right. He denied the Lord with oaths and curses after he said, I'll never deny you. And he used his old language from the boat. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That you would deny your Lord with oaths and curses. Peter cut off the high priest's ear. You know, the Lord was ready to go to Calvary, and Peter stepped in. That's the time he was going to fight, but that was the wrong time. And he cut the high priest's servant's ear off. Peter told the Lord he would not allow him to wash his feet. Remember what the Lord said to him? Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. So it's good to get your Bible open in the morning and let the Lord wash your feet, wash your heart, wash your mind, get you ready for the day. Peter rebuked the Lord for the prediction of suffering and death. And you remember what the Lord said to him there? He said, get behind me, Satan. This is the work that I'm here to do. And especially when Peter just confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't get it right. However, and I'm glad nobody's chronicling to you on times in my life when I didn't get it right. You know, if Peter was here right now, he'd feel pretty uncomfortable. But I would say this, there are lots that he did get right. And here's some things. He confessed Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ. He pledged allegiance to the Lord when all the disciples left. In fact, they were going away, and he said this, beautiful language, end of John. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He wasn't a Marine. I guess Bruce was a Marine one time, and I would say this, that he was Semper Fi, wasn't he? Always faithful. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words. Peter was used by the Lord to preach the gospel to Jerusalem. The very place where the Lord was crucified, the Lord used him. He gave him a second chance, and over 3,000 people were saved. In his short letter, do you want an outline of 1 Peter? Here it is. Chapter 1 has to do with salvation. Chapter 2 and a little bit of chapter 3 has to do with submission. Chapter 3 and 4 have to do with suffering. And chapter 5 has to do with service. There's your outline. You know, even though he talks about suffering, Peter also talks a lot about joy in his little letter. Lots about joy. And he says this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishable, though it be found, tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And if we know where we're going, and we can say, you know, at the end of it, I want my testimony, my life to be unto praise, honor, and glory. In fact, he talks in 2 2 about the abundant entrance. Add these things to your faith, and there can be an abundant entrance into the presence of our Lord. And there was a little man in our meeting who loved the Lord, and he saw a lot of young people come to know Christ. And he would never claim credit. He thought it was a work of the Spirit. But I thought when Wayne Messerly went to be with the Lord, there probably was an applause line. He came into heaven, and he was applauded for his faithfulness and just the man that he was. First, he points to the reward. But rejoice inasmuch you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you'll be glad with exceeding joy. You know, there's a payoff, isn't there? There's joy at the end of it as we walk for the Lord. And he writes of precious things. And, you know, the word precious has to do with what's valuable, not thinking of the word right now, but anyway, you'd like to say that it's honorable, precious, precious faith, precious blood, precious cornerstone, precious Savior. Precious is a gentle and quiet spirit. Precious suffering of Christ. Precious crowns. Wonderful, wonderful things. We only had one dog. My son and I got a little hunting dog. And we were having a family discussion on what we should name it. And Carol said, you should name it Precious Longing. I said, I'm not going to hunt with a dog and call it Precious Longing. Come here, Precious. I'm not going to do that. So we ended up naming it Maybe. Maybe she'll hunt, maybe she won't. We're going to love her anyway. She was a good dog. Peter would teach us how to handle trials. How would he do that? Well, I think that part of Peter's life tells us he would remember the words of our Lord Jesus, didn't he? When he went through trials and didn't handle them very well, he remembered the words of the Lord. And after he wrote 1 Peter, he said, now this is a true grace of God. And I thought, well, that's quite a message in itself, that this message about salvation, about suffering and service. This is a true grace of God. It's all a gift that the Lord gives. And then Peter would teach us that we can look for his return. And then he would teach us, cast all our care upon the Lord. He cares for you. Well, let's look for a few thoughts in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I would say this, there are three thoughts that I would deal with this afternoon. One is to live with hope. Two is to live in holiness. And three, just to make the alliteration work, live in harmony, live for the Lord. So living with hope. Let me just read a little bit of it from my New International Bible, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power unto the coming of the salvation which is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief on all kinds of trials. These have come to you that your faith, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perisheth, even though refined by fire, might be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible, glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Concerning this salvation, the prophets have spoken of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that follow. Well, we have a living hope, don't we? Because we have a living Savior. And once we are born again, we have the life of God within us. He is our hope, Paul wrote. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:1, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. What's my hope? It's Christ. How am I saved? Because I trust Christ. What do I work? What's my work in life? Is to preach Christ and to live for Christ and to know Christ. He's the reason I have hope. He's not only a living hope, he's a lasting hope. In verse 4, it says, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. It's death-proof. It's sin-proof. It's time-proof. And we're kept by the power of God. There's no thief that can take that away from you. A little girl quoted that in a Sunday school class, but she didn't say a living hope. She called it a lovely hope. Well, I like that too. It's not exactly there, but it is there. We see him, Peter said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold trials, whom having not seen you love, and whom now you see him not, yet believing. You know, our son was in the military, he was in the Middle East, and when he came home and came through that door, it was just, everybody was weeping. And if you've been in an airport and seen these GIs coming back and families meeting them, you get that feeling. You know what people feel when their loved one is coming home. We see him, and we're like him. Feel what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. And you can work on that right now, to be like the Lord right now. Live for him. Be his man or woman. So that's the lovely hope. The promise that we have one day is to have an eternal security with him. It's not based on our faith, but it's based, well, the faith of our it's not our faith, but his faithfulness. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, I give unto them eternal life. Doesn't that make sense to you? Those that, there's a family. And the best thing about a family is the togetherness. And to be together means that there's love in that family. And how sweet it is to have a family where love is seen and practiced. And that's true with our eternal home. Well, not only is this hope that lifts us up and gives us strength for the future, but it's also living in holiness. We'll just read a few verses starting in verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And notice these words. As obedient children, do not be conformed to this the evil desires that you have when you lived in ignorance. But just as he has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This blessed hope leads to a holy life. And a life that's set apart for God. And boy, we need that in our world, don't we? We need a life that rings with being authentic. And it is so sad that when people see us, they don't think we're any different than the world. Command of the Lord, this is not optional. Be holy, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. Be set apart for God. Verse 17 tells us this. since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live with your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Someday, there's going to be a review, the Bema, and we'll be reviewed. Not for our sins, but for our works. And so God will do a review. Now, I've had review as on the end for an employer, but I've also given reviews. But I'd love to hear the Lord say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, wouldn't you? I'd like to hear that. In terms of our living in holiness, it all is based on what he did for us on the cross. And there's something about a grateful heart. Having a grateful heart and having a worshipful heart will keep you from sin. You get up in the morning and you worship the Lord and you walk with the Lord all day, and you're grateful. Thanks be unto God. And then our response, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. You know, this young man, I was interested in this car that my brother-in-law sells him, and it's called Subaru Ascent. And this young man had bought it. It's a lovely SUV. And they've just come out with him. And I said to Eric, I said, it's all right if I get in your car. He said, you can, but don't drive it. My wife's coming. And I said, well, can I walk around it and open the doors? He said, you can do that. He said, well, actually, if you want to, Bill, you can drive in the parking lot. And I said, well, that's good. But, you know, in other words, he was telling me, take good care of it. It belongs to me now. Or at least he's making the payments on it. And I belong to the Lord Jesus. I take good care of it. And other Christians in the assembly want to take care of you, make sure you're walking the straight and narrow. I'm not at all worried about Emery. Not a bit. He walks the straight and narrow. He loves the Lord, loves his Bible. And he's used duct tape to keep it together. That's okay with me because it tells me that he's been using it. Amen? Use your Bible and you need some duct tape to keep it together. So we surrender to him, and then obedience to his word. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, by his unfailing, steadfast love, on that basis, give him your best, give him your all, and it's your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Here's a verse for young men. It's 1 John 2:4. 2:14. Anyone quote it? 1 John 2:14. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides within you and you've overcome the evil one. Is that a good verse? That's an excellent verse. And so much can be stated about John 17:17. Sanctify them by thy word, through thy truth, thy word is true. We're set apart for God. We're made holy through the word of God. And the Lord aligns our thinking, aligns us according to his purpose, sets us on that path of wisdom and righteousness, not on the path of sin and folly. And so we go down the road and the Lord sets us apart. The last point is living in harmony. And Psalms 133 says this, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. There the Lord commands a blessing, even life forevermore. Do you like that? I tell you, that's a wonderful thought. When teams work together, they work together well. Families work together, they work well. And Christians in a church that are working together, husbands and wife that work together, that's good too. I couldn't do these presentations without Carol on the computer. We're born again, and we're given a love for the people of God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is a unity. You just keep it. You build each other up. You walk together as members of the household of God, and the Lord will be honored. Look how they love each other. There's a guy by the name of Samuel Parrish who is a writer from England. He went to Africa. That's where he grew up. And he's not a Christian, an atheist. But he found out that the Africans have the computer now. They have the internet now. They have all of the, they have cell phones, they have all of that. But they still have the machete and the rifle. And he said this, he said, I felt the safest when I dwelt among Christians, when I was at their homes, when I was at their hospitals, when I was in their schools. And that's where I stayed at night. It's good to have to be part of a family. And you have confidence there. They take care of you. Well, love has an object. A new commandment I give unto you. And here's what the Lord said. You like that? That you love one another. Husbands, love your wife. That's good. You like that? Both of them look a little chunky, too. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. You can never, if you have a wife, you can never love her too much, because you should be loving her as Christ loved the church. Love is an object. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. What's the standard? As I have loved you. By this all men shall know that you're my disciples, you have love one to another. And it's a sweet thing to be in a fellowship where people care about you, love you, and will go out of their way, provide for you, help you. Word to husbands and wives in terms of harmony. 1 Peter 3:8-12. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another. First of all, have unity, then have compassion one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that you were called that you should inherit a blessing. And here, this is such high ground, he said. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Lips, they speak no guile. Let him put away evil, do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it, ensue it. Eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto his prayer. Face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Husband and wives, be all of one mind, united. Brian has a little logo. I don't know if I can quote it. We're strong. We're courageous. We're fighters. We never give up. We belong to Christ. Something like that. And all of his kids have to say it too. From the little to the oldest. The summary, well, first of all, when God lays out some instruction for you, it's not just suggestions, we're to obey it. Thanks be unto God that you once were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. In summary, to live with hope, have the living hope, to live in holiness, or to live in harmony. To begin with and to end with, we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God saves us and he keeps us. To endure with hope, we walk with his plan, becomes my future. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I had a friend who owned his own construction company. He's with the Lord now. Did excavating. He had a lot of different people worked with him. But Oscar Arnholtz sang all day long. He sang these hymns. Hymns from our old blue book. He'd sing them all. He knew them all, as well as the black book. And what a testimony that was, that the joy that he had, the faith that he had in Christ came out in a song. We sing with joy, and there's a fragrance ascending. We stay close to Christ and his people. Wonderful when you can become a channel of love to another believer and take care of them. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded, one towards one another, that ye may with one mind, one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we walk in hope, we walk in holiness, we walk in harmony, we love one another, and we walk on. We walk on with hope in our hearts, and know this, when you do that, you'll never walk alone. The Lord's with us. I've risen from sleep to give you that message. It's been a joy. It has been a joy. And as a school teacher, a school administrator, I've got to read my schedule. I'm going to read my schedule. Let's just give the Lord a word of thanks. And we have lots of activities this afternoon. Father, we are thankful today that you've called us to know the one who came to deliver us from sin and sorrow and shame and give us his love, give us hope, give us joy, give us peace, give us a future, Lord, that means only blessing. We're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful that here, while we're on earth, we can demonstrate to others that we belong to you. We can walk with hope in our hearts. We can, with purpose of mind and heart, walk in holiness and say no to sin and corruption and evil and say yes to you, Lord, and walk in fellowship with you, to walk in the light. Then, Lord, we can walk in love. We can care for others, the unsaved as well as the saved. And through our hands and deeds and words and resources, we can make known that you're a God who gives and loves and cares for people. Help us, Lord, to live out these great truths and make us the kind of people you want us to be. We're thankful, Lord, that the story is never ended until once we stand in your presence. And then we'll see that anything that we've done or anything that we've tried to do will bring great joy and blessing to others. And Lord, that's our prayer, that we'll see others that we've invested in your presence, and we'll encourage them along the way. We thank you for our time this afternoon. Commit the activities and everything that takes place this day into your care and keeping, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.